Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People go.
People
go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song will get better.
It's gotta get
better.
In the word. Let's give our host a hand, Reverend Ellen Jacobs, as she comes to the mic at this time.
Well, good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. And it is a beautiful one. The weather is beautiful. And, of course, this is Good Friday. And this is the time when so many of us are at worship, thinking about all of the wonderful things that happened way back in that last week that Jesus the Christ walked the earth. And so I want to start right away. One of the scriptures that we were directed to read in Keep a True Lent, the scripture of Isaiah, and as we all know, Isaiah was a prophet that certainly prophesied the coming of the Messiah and the wonderful things that would happen for us when the Messiah came. And this is in chronological time. And so to open our program, I want to read from Isaiah 12, verses 1 through 6. That was one of the readings we were directed to do. So Isaiah, don't forget, well, we know Isaiah came many, many centuries before the birth of Jesus, but he did prophesy the wonderful things that would be ours once the Messiah came. And so in chapter 12 in my Bible, there is a title, Thanksgiving in the Messiah's Kingdom. And it reads as follows. And in that day, you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Jehovah the Lord is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord upon his name. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. In your midst. In your midst. And so we know that God will add a blessing to the reading of his wonderful and magnificent word. And as we go through this hour, let us remember that the Holy One of Israel is in our midst, not just in the crowd, but in each one of us. Because as we work out this path of regeneration that we are on, we know that that wonderful way-shower, guide, guard, the Christ consciousness is within each one of us. And so during this Holy Week time, during this time of Lent, we have been immersed in the study and the actual feeling of the Christ presence within each one of us. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. All right, so we're going to start our program as we have been for the last month or so, as we did the Lenten season. Of course, Holy Week started with Palm Sunday. And on Palm Sunday, Reverend Ellen Davenport wrote an essay in the Lenten booklet, 40 Days, Let Go, Let God, Lent 2024. And so I'm going to start with that first, that Palm Sunday essay that Ellen Davenport wrote. It says, Jesus let go of the outcome. Palm Sunday is celebrated as Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem when his followers waved palm branches and shouted Hosanna. But Jesus knew his life was in danger. The Bible says he set his face for Jerusalem, knowing it was the right place for him to be, letting go of whatever might happen. in the final week of Jesus' life, which we commemorate as Holy Week, starting on Palm Sunday, we see him letting go in all the ways we have discussed in our booklet and over the Lenten season. Jesus letting go of ego, of others' approval, of worry, of fear, and needing to be seen as right. We also see him letting go of outcomes, letting events unfold without his interference, trusting in his highest good, demonstrated most dramatically in his dealings with Judas, a story told in four Gospels. At the Last Supper, after he had washed the disciples' feet, Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." And so when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Jesus said unto him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. And this is John 13, 21, 22, 26, 27, and 30. And Jesus let him go. Jesus also predicted that Peter would deny him three times before the cock crowed, but he didn't try to talk Peter out of it. Peter was aghast and swore he would do no such thing, but within hours he did deny knowing Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed and waited for the arrest he knew was coming. Depleting with the disciples to stay awake with him, he said, "See, my betrayer is at hand." And while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Matthew 26, 46 to 50. But Jesus remained in this state of letting go throughout his subsequent trial, the procession to Calvary, and the crucifixion. We marvel at his equanimity, his serenity, having found a peace that passes understanding. He tapped a vast inner reservoir of spiritual strength. So can we. What we see in Jesus is the result of steady, continuous deepening of his spiritual understanding. Knowing his own divine essence, Jesus put in the spiritual work, and it served him at a time when others might flee or resist. And he promised, "We could do anything," John 14, 12. And that is our message for the entire season of Lent, and especially to take away from the resurrection. And we'll be talking about that during this hour. Jesus promised we could do anything he could do, John 14, 12. And we are called upon right here, right now, at this time, to do just that, to be continued. We aren't going to read the all of the selections for each day of the week. We're just going to do one or two. And so Reverend Mary Lou is going to do today's, Good Friday's reading, and tomorrow's. And then we will do the Sunday reading also. So Reverend Mary Lou, if you will,
yes.
If you will
thank
read
you.
Today's reading, Good Friday, thank you. Go right ahead.
Yes. Reverend Ellen. So today, I let go of blame. Father, punish them, for they know what they have done. What if these were Jesus' words from the cross? What if he had refused to suffer any longer and done what the devil tempted him to do in the wilderness? When facing challenges, it is tempting to blame an outside source. We summon legends of angry, hurtful thoughts against those we hold responsible, securing our role as victim to their words or actions. But in his last moments, Jesus harbored no blame. He offered forgiveness to those who punished him. He offered comfort to those who mourned. He clung to the message at the heart of his ministry, seeing the divinity within all humanity. He chose love above all else. When challenges with others or through your own missteps arise, stop, breathe. Choose to meet them from your Christ nature. Forgive, understand, love, and be made whole. Then Jesus said, this is the scripture from Luke 23:34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. This reading is by a Reverend David B. Adams. So I let go of blame and I affirm. Today I let go of blame and view every experience in the light of understanding. And then the reading for tomorrow in Let Go, Let God for Holy Saturday. I let go of fear of change. On this day, long ago, Jesus' disciples were in a state of shock. They were grieving his crucifixion and frightened of what might happen. In John 19, Joseph of Arimathea, a secret disciple because he feared the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take Jesus' body. After being granted permission, he removed the body, anointed it with oil, wrapped it in linens, and placed it in an empty tomb. In order to move on, Joseph of Arimathea needed to travel from his head to his heart. Although his world was changing around him, he listened within. The first step is to get in tune with the infinite. Eric Butterworth wrote in his essay, How to Overcome Fear and Worry. We can take a gentle cleansing breath to get in touch with the indwelling presence of God. And as we do this, we release all fear and embrace change wholeheartedly. And the scripture from Isaiah 41:10, Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. And this reading is by a Reverend Edith Washington Woods. And I let go of fear of change, and then I affirm, I am willing to release all limiting thoughts and know change as my divine birthright. And so it is.
All right, thank you so much, Reverend Mary Lou. Two things that I got from these readings this week, these two in particular and the others, is that we are getting methods to deal with fear and distress and upset. And both of these counsel us to breathe, stop and breathe, and get in touch with the indwelling presence presence of God. And as we do this, we release fear and embrace change. As we do this, we meet whatever our problems are from our Christ consciousness. And it's good to have that reinforced, because that stop and breathe and go within until we can get a little clarity is certainly wonderful, wonderful advice for us and everybody else. It's a wonderful thing. The booklet continues and finishes, continues and ends with our Easter Sunday reading, and that's from Reverend Ellen Davenport, and I'd like to share that with you quickly. Jesus let go of physical life. Laying down one's life is the ultimate letting go. Most of us are not called to die early as part of our life's mission, as Jesus was, but at times we may experience the end of life as we know it. The Easter story resonates year after year because in the crucifixion, tomb, and resurrection, we recognize our own experiences of loss, void, and renewal. In the book of John, four chapters are devoted to the farewell discourses in which Jesus tried to prepare the disciples to carry on without him. Read them in John 14 to 17. That's when he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." John 15, 12, 13. Of course, all of us will eventually release our physical bodies. Sometimes death is a healing. The world might be a more peaceful place if we could view death not as a tragedy, but a natural end to our temporary physical existence. Jesus' resurrection proved to us that life is eternal. We will never know exactly what happened that Sunday morning, but it was significant enough to become part of the stories handed down through the years. By the time they were written as the Gospels, they varied in exactly what Jesus did or said or looked like after his resurrection. But somehow, he communicated to his followers that he was still right here. We can be reassured that our spiritual essence continues after a physical death. Story also means that no matter what comes to an end in our lives, there will be a new day. We may spend time in darkness, but eventually the stone will roll away and the sun will stream in. The Easter story is a beautiful metaphor for the losses in our lives that lead to unexpected renewal. The losses may even seem necessary. After all, there would have been no resurrection without crucifixion. And so today we celebrate this teaching. Not only that our souls continue their spiritual journey after death, but that our human lives are on an upward trajectory while we are here. Feeling sad and alone may be part of our experience, but we can look forward to the day when our good becomes visible. The sooner we become willing to let go of whatever life circumstances we cling to, the sooner we can enter the new realm of our good. Transformation is always possible and may even be our soul's purpose for these lives. Today we celebrate all that the Easter story means to us. The idea of the risen Jesus communicates a message of divine support for the lives we are living. It reassures us that death and darkness are never the last word, and it lets us know our divine nature can be just as strong, as grounded, and as loving as we saw in Jesus. And that is the truth of our existence. And it is a beautiful, beautiful truth. And we'll continue discussing these truths as we look at the entries for Keep a True Lent. And so the Easter story in Keep a True Lent is more in depth and very deep, but it's about Jesus' crucifixion, his rest in the tomb, and his resurrection. And we can recognize our own experiences as we look into the experiences of Jesus on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so let's go to, as we leave these beautiful readings that are so very, very good. I have enjoyed reading them and enjoyed working with them. And we move on right now to our Keep a True Lent. And we're going to be looking at the Holy Week entries, especially because of time. If we had more time, we would do whole week, because each one of the entries in the week has been just magnificent. But as time will allow, we will do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so we're going to start with the Sunday. The Thursday entry is titled Gethsemane, and it is the 38th day of the 40-day period. And so Reverend Mary Lou is going to share the ideas on Gethsemane, and then she will share the ideas on today's Good Friday crucifixion, and I will do the Saturday resting in God and the resurrection. So Reverend Mary Lou, go right ahead.
Thank you, Reverend Ellen. So on Thursday, Gethsemane. Gethsemane is symbolic of the struggle that takes place within the consciousness when truth is realized as the one reality. It is a condition that man works through when he recognizes that God is all and that he must be willing to sacrifice all for God. There are always deeply rooted error thoughts stored away in the subconsciousness, and on their own account, that they come forward to crucify the new unknown power, the so-called imposter, the indwelling Christ. The Christ is presumably captured by these thoughts, which try to carry out their aims in the darkness of the subconscious mind. But error can kill out only error. The Christ itself may be held in obscurity for a while, but it cannot be done away. Cannot be done away with. That which died on the cross when Jesus was crucified was the personality. The Christ resurrects itself from the very depths of the subconsciousness, and error is hanged on the gallows it prepared for the doing away of the newborn spiritual ego. This breaking up and passing away of old error states of mind and making ready for the new is a process in soul evolution of all those who are faithfully following Jesus. In all systems of thought, concentration, and spiritual attainment, the will, the executive faculty, plays the leading part. Therefore, I prepare my consciousness for the reception of these new ideas. I say with Jesus, not my will, but thine be done. I realize that the new inspiration is flowing steadily into my consciousness as I affirm, old error thoughts are passed away. I am a new creature in Christ. And the questions for today for Gethsemane. The first one, what does Gethsemane symbolize? And from this reading, Gethsemane is symbolic of the struggle that takes place within the consciousness when truth is realized as the one reality. And the second, what is the function of error thoughts in the subconscious? And from the reading, the function of error thoughts, there are always deeply rooted error thoughts, and they are stored away in the subconsciousness, and on their own account, they come forward to crucify the new unknown power, the so-called imposter, the indwelling Christ. Now, the Christ is presumably captured by these thoughts, which try to carry out their aim in the darkness of the subconscious mind. But error can kill out only error. The Christ itself may be held in obscurity for a while, but it cannot be done away with. So the third question is, what was crucified on the cross? That which died on the cross when Jesus was crucified was the personality. And the fourth question, what plays the leading part in spiritual attainment? Now, in all systems of thought, concentration, and spiritual attainment, the will, the executive faculty, plays the leading part. And the affirmation at the end of the question, I call on God's power to dissolve old error thoughts. I let my thoughts follow after the pattern of truth and of truth set for me by Jesus Christ. And the affirmation at the end of the reading, I realize that new inspiration is flowing steadily into my consciousness as I affirm, old error thoughts are passed away. I am a new creature in Christ. This meaning of Gethsemane is the process and the struggle of prayer and meditation to let go of the error thoughts and then replace them with thoughts of truth. And this is a step in our spiritual path towards regeneration. So moving to the crucifixion for today, the crucifixion, Good Friday. Now, Jesus' crucifixion on Calvary was a final step in a work that had been going on in him for 33 years. And when he arose, he was entirely free from the carnal mind with all its limitations. He had overcome all the carnal tendencies which he had taken on when he might free the race from its bondage. Now, the word crucifixion means the crossing out in consciousness of certain errors that have become fixed states of mind. It is the enactment by the master of the final extinction of carnal mind and the giving up of the whole personality in order that the Christ mind may be expressed in all its fullness. This is represented by the crucifixion of Jesus. Calvary means, quote, the place of the skull. The carnal mind has appropriated the brain and its skull, and it is here that the final battle is fought. Every time we give up, there is a crucifixion. The 3 days Jesus was in the tomb represent the three steps in overcoming error. First, non-resistance. Second, the taking on of divine activity or receiving the will of God. Third, the assimilation and fulfillment of the divine will. I deny the self that I may unite with the selfless. I give up the mortal that I may attain the immortal. I dissolve the thought of the physical body that I may realize the spiritual body. This is a mental process with a physical effect. I affirm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And the question for the crucifixion for today, what was the final step in Jesus' work? And in the reading, the first few sentences, Jesus' crucifixion on Calvary was a final step in his work that had been going on in him for 33 years. And when he arose, he was entirely free from the carnal mind with all its limitations. He had overcome all the carnal tendencies which he had taken on that he might free the race from its bondage. And the second question, what does the word crucifixion mean? Now, the word crucifixion means the crossing out in consciousness of certain errors that have become fixed states of mind. It is the enactment by a master of the final extinction of carnal mind, the giving up of the whole personality in order that the Christ mind may be expressed in all its fullness. This is represented by the crucifixion of Jesus. And the third question, what does Calvary mean? Calvary means, quote, the place of the skull. The carnal mind has appropriated the brain and its skull, and it is here that the final battle is fought. Every time we give up error, there is a crucifixion. And the fourth question, what do the 3 days Jesus was in the tomb represent? The 3 days Jesus was in the tomb represent the three steps in overcoming error. First, non-resistance. Second, the taking on of divine activity or receiving the will of God, and third, the assimilation and fulfillment of the divine will. And the affirmation after the questions, God's spirit in me is invincible and indestructible. Thank you, Father, for your spirit in me that gives me victory over death itself. And then the affirmation at the end of the reading, I affirm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so it is.
And so it is, and so it is. And the last reading that Mary Lou did on the crucifixion leads us right into the Saturday reading, Resting in God. And the crucifixion entry before, the crucifixion entry for today leads us into the Saturday reading. And today it was just read, the 3 days Jesus was in the tomb represents the three steps in overcoming error. First, non-resistance. Second, the taking on of divine activity or receiving the will of God. And third, the assimilation and fulfillment of the divine will. And so these 3 days were spent, 3 days called, that our selection here calls Resting in God, is the reading for tomorrow. After Jesus' crucifixion, he was laid to rest in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Jesus represents the expression of the I Am identity. Arimathea represents an aggregation of thoughts of lofty character, a high state of consciousness in man. Joseph represents a state of consciousness in which we improve in character along all lines. We not only grow into a broader understanding, but also we increase in vitality and substance. We are resting in God, and at the same time, gathering strength for the power of greater demonstrations to follow. And so I love this because this is talking about resting in the Lord, which is not sleep, but it is a time of gathering strength for the power of greater demonstrations to follow. A degree of cleansing or wiping out of sense consciousness has been accomplished. By mentally reviewing our experiences, we recognize that nothing is really destroyed, but rather transmuted. Through faith, we take stock of the progress we have made and find that we are getting a consciousness of radiant substance and of higher life. Nothing is lost. When sense consciousness is raised to a higher plane, all that belongs to it is saved with it. In reality, the invisible cannot be seen, touched, or comprehended by the outer senses. Yet, in this realm, when we rest in God, a great and mighty work is being accomplished. Today, I realize that the leaven that leaveneth the whole lump is the truth, with a capital T. The word of truth within me is not idle, but quietly spreading from point to point. The process will continue until my whole consciousness is vitalized by the Holy Spirit. And this process, of course, is part of the regeneration process. I affirm, I rest in the consciousness of eternal life and strength, and I am made perfect. The questions that we are asked to look at on this day, which is tomorrow, Saturday, starts with, what does Arimathea represent? Joseph of Arimathea, as we know, is the man who took Jesus' body and put it in the tomb, his tomb. Arimathea represents an aggregation of thoughts of lofty character, a high state of consciousness in man. The second question is, does Joseph represent? Joseph, the man, represents a state of consciousness in which we improve in character along all lines. We not only grow into a broader understanding, but we increase in vitality and substance. What happens when sense consciousness is raised to a higher plane? When sense consciousness is raised to a higher plane, all that belongs to it is saved with it. And so it is changed. It is not destroyed, but it is changed. It's saved. What's important with it is saved. What is the leaven that leaveneth the whole lump? Today I realize that the leaven that leaveneth the whole lump is the truth. The word of truth within me is not idle, but quietly spreading from point to point. This process will continue until my whole consciousness is vitalized by the Holy Spirit. And I affirm I rest in the consciousness of eternal life and strength, and I am made perfect. And the other affirmation after the questions, Father God, I rest in the consciousness of your presence within me and about me. I rest in the consciousness of your life and perfection within me. And so that Saturday, tomorrow, as we read and as we contemplate and as we meditate, as we rest in God, we know that we are continuing the process of vitalization that is part of us because God itself, himself, indwells us. And so we choose to allow that consciousness, God consciousness, eternal life and strength to make us perfect. And, of course, the Sunday Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday. Easter is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. Inner meaning and spiritual significance is the awakening and raising to spiritual consciousness of the I am in man, which has been dead in trespass and sin and buried in the tomb of materiality. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The resurrection is the raising up of the whole man, spirit, soul, and body, into the Christ consciousness of life and wholeness. This Jesus did. The tomb could not hold his redeemed, perfected body temple. Resurrection is accomplished by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. Every time we rise to the realization of eternal, indwelling life, making union with the Father mind, the resurrection of Jesus takes place within us. All thoughts of limitation and inevitable obedience to material law are left in the tomb of materiality. Jesus was born into the race thought so that he might reconstruct it in conformity with the divine law. Thus he became our way shower, our savior, and our helper. Today, the light of truth is illumining our minds and my mind, and I rise up in the majesty of my divine sonship and proclaim myself to be the child of the Most High, free from all belief in sin, sickness, and death. I affirm, in unity with Christ, I realize that I am resurrected into the life, light, and power of God. We are asked to look at the questions after, and the first one is, what is the spiritual significance of Easter? Easter is the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. Its inner meaning, and that's the meaning for us, and spiritual significance is the awakening and raising to spiritual consciousness of the I am in man, which has been dead in trespass and sin and buried in the tomb of materiality. What is the resurrection? The resurrection is the rising or raising up of the whole man, spirit, soul, and body, into the Christ consciousness of life and wholeness. This Jesus did. How is resurrection accomplished? Resurrection is accomplished by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. And four, why was Jesus born into the race thought? Jesus was born into the race thought so that he might reconstruct it in conformity with the divine law. Thus, he became our way-shower, our savior, and our helper. And Christ within me is the resurrection and the life. Christ within me is the power that enables me to rise triumphant out of every trial. In unity with Christ, I realize that I am resurrected into the life, light, and power of God. And so it is. Christ within me is the resurrection and the life. Christ within me is the power that enables me to rise triumphant out of every trial. And what a thing that is. And we give thanks. We give thanks. We give thanks. Okay. What a Lent this has been. I'd love to have anyone who is listening in or who's with us today to speak about their experience of Lent.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, this is Susan. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. Goodness gracious. Hey, girl, how are you? Oh, how lovely to have you here.
Well, I wanted to join you and everybody and on Good Friday, so Mary Lou sent me the number. I didn't even have the right number, but I'm grateful to be here.
Oh, we're so grateful to have you.
Yeah, this is a beautiful day. Enjoyed all of the explanations of what's going on, but I got really excited about, Mary Lou mentioned something about not my will, but thy will be done, and going on in her talk. And I just was feeling really good because I know that God's will is that we be whole and one with God. So that will, as we call forth God's will, it enables us to rest because then we know that we are in the right place and everything is in divine order. All is well, all is well. So I just thank you for all of the explanation, but that particularly resonated with me because that's something that I have to keep reminding myself of. You know, God's will be done. And once that is done, it's not to convince myself of that, but to know that I don't have to worry and I can rest, and it's all done. And so I thank you for bringing that out, and I pray that and know that all of us will experience the resurrection and the life. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, and that is the truth. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, we still here. Yeah,
yes, we're here. Go right ahead.
Yeah, so I really like the part of resting in God. Yeah, because even though we've come to somewhat the end of the study of Lent today, but I had decided to continue. And today I'm fasting, and I will be fasting until at 6 p.m. tonight. And because in truth, the rest of the journey is just as important, you know, as the part that we've already done. And it's a time when, you know, we need for our choice and our action to come, you know, it's a time when that comes to an end. But it's the time when God was resting in the tomb. But we have to continue in faith and know that, you know, the resurrection is assured as we wait. So, again, you know, I've been fasting. I've been fasting from Whole Foods and, you know, and just feasting on my prayers and my affirmations. What I realized is that, that, you know, this study, this personal studies I've committed to is over, you know, for this 40 days. But in reality, I know that the divine is carrying me on with this infinite love to a magic mystery, to a place called Easter, in which it is the time when we really come to recognize our oneness, our wholeness, come to recognize our divine self and live from that self in love, as I think Mary Lou stated, you know, love one another. That was the great commandment, and that's what we have to continue to do. And you mentioned, Mary Ellen, something about the regeneration, and we know the new race and the new generation. So this is kind of what I concluded from, you know, from the whole thing is that, you know, our experiences have been many 40 days. Our lives have been drastically changed, and now in this moment, the universe is calling us to come on up, to get into that new mindset or force that new race, you know, is being forced upon us. And so I believe this is a big issue facing us today, that we must take this opportunity to just embrace it, forgetting the things that are behind us and looking forward to you know, those things that are in front of us, the mark of our higher calling, coming up to that mark of our higher calling, which I believe is to get back to that original divine plan or that original state of mind, that Eden state of mind, when we knew our oneness, when we were not deceived by the ego, that we were separate from God, that we were less than God, but to get back to that oneness, or simply understand and know and accept that all of this, as this regeneration process, or this, what you want to call it, reincarnation of our spirits or whatever, is a time to direct more attention to our spirituality and get away from our physicality, our this material stuff, because we, you know, it's upon us now, and we have to do it. So that was kind of what I got out of the whole, all of the full sessions.
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I am about the business of the same thing, because I'm just not going to let this momentum that we've had during the last 40 days, it was, right, just drop. I am actively studying what it takes to bring our message to the world. I am looking into ways or formats that we can use to bring this out in a bigger and better way. Because I was surprised at the statistics that I'm hearing about church attendance and people who are saying that they really follow Jesus, whether they're called Christians or whatever. So religion, as it used to be, is no longer, the churches are no longer able to pull people and so forth. Anyway, I know what we work with is truth. I know that. So there's no doubt it is truth. And it needs to be put out in such a way that people will listen, so that the, you know, the old formats of sermons, etc., I think that maybe that's not happening anymore, that perhaps we have to go into a different format. We have to go into other stuff. I'm not, and I don't know what it is, so don't get me wrong. I don't know. I don't have too many answers, but I know that the old-time religion is not working. And so, therefore, I really would like for us to get together somehow and talk about this and put together something so we can really put this resurrection knowledge, the knowledge of Jesus, God within us, moving and being. We have to be able to present this in a way that others have not been able to do it. So, to be continued on our prayer line. You got time, girl?
Yes.
You got time for the prayer line? Susan and Elva, you got time?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. The prayer line is 605-468-8018, and the call number is 245-390-pound.
Come on down.
Come on down. All right. God
okay.
bless. 5 minutes. God okay.
Bless.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Love you. Love you.
Gotta get better.